Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Your daughter, the love of your life, goes missing. You suffer and suffer until you find out the worst. She's dead. Can you imagine anything else that could be heaped on you as a mother or father that could intensify your pain after what you've already been through? Well, how about this? How about if the assistant district attorney asks you, the mother of the dead girl, to come to the DA's office, escorts you to a little office, and asks you to sort through the evidence and organize it, including the photos of your girl in death. Now, I've got to say, when my fiancé was murdered, I did not want to see his body even in a casket, even with all the makeup on and the fixing him to cover up the 5 bullet wounds to his head, his face, his back, his neck. And the one moment I did see a tiny bit of his profile at a distance in the casket, I passed out. So what has this mother endured thanks to a weak prosecutor? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. First of all, take a listen to this report from our friend Taylor Alanis at KRIS 6.
I'm supposed to trust her. I'm supposed to trust the DA. And you're asking me to do something. I trust you.
Trust that Fallon Wood says was broken by what she thought was a simple favor.
I remember her saying that she needed help sorting out and arranging the boxes containing all the evidence.
So she did what she thought any mother would do.
She did not say that it would jeopardize the case, but she did say, you know, just keep this between us.
Wood says Assistant DA Angelica Hernandez brought her to a small room.
I sat on the floor for 3 days sorting all the interviews, everything from each name, from all 7 names.
She says Hernandez made copies of video interviews with one man who took a plea deal in connection to Brianna's murder. Wood was allowed to take those videos home and keeps them locked in her safe. The evidence also included pictures of Brianna's body.
It's the last image I see every night when I go to sleep is that picture of what Brianna looked like when they found her.
You are hearing the voice of someone I now consider to be a friend. Fallon Wood, the mother of Brianna. I had heard nothing about this horrible travesty until I happened to go speak in Corpus Christi for the Purple Door, who raises money for the women's shelter there. And there I met some incredible women, in addition to hearing Fallon Wood's story about what she endured at the hands of the local assistant prosecutor, the weak DA who has now taken the death penalty off the table. I also met another woman, a victim's advocate, Sharon Sedwick. She's a victim's advocate because she is the mother of Jennifer Cave, who was murdered. The Jennifer Cave Act was passed, making mutilation of a corpse a felony. Sharon, how did you become involved in Fallon Wood's, the mom of Brianna Wood, murdered case?
I had been watching it on the news and felt like I was reliving our nightmare. And I became very concerned because I didn't think she was getting any victim services help. And this was before COVID, and I went to our county commissioners about the lack of victim services in our DA's office, because at that time we only had one lady and she had just quit.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
In an atmosphere like that, they obviously do not place any emphasis on crime victims. Guys, let's just start at the beginning. Breonna Wood goes missing. Take a listen to our friends at crimeonline.com. Cut 00A.
Breonna Wood and her mom talked or texted every day. The family was close, Breonna, her mom Fallon, and a brother. The family had moved to Corpus Christi from Nevada just 4 years before. On October 11th, about 10 p.m., 21-year-old Breonna texts her mom she's on the way home.
Guys, with me, in addition to victims advocate Sharon Sedgwick and an all-star panel of guests, Taylor Alanis is with us, TV News anchor, journalist for KRIS6, who's been on the case from the very beginning, joining us out of Corpus Christi. At the very beginning, where was Breonna going?
The last we heard of Breonna, she was at a PMI, which is a convenience store. She was seen on camera that same day that she texted her mom earlier in the day. And that was the last time people saw her.
So she goes missing, last heard from around 10 p.m. She texts mom and says, "I'm on the way home." But she never made it. Listen.
The next day, Fallon Wood files a missing persons report. As police investigate, they learn Breonna Wood was last seen at a PMI market. Missing persons flyers are posted, and the Corpus Christi police ask the public for help searching for Wood. Family and friends create a GoFundMe account to raise money to pay for the search for Breonna. Then police get a tip. A woman tried to use Breonna Wood's ID card at a pawn shop. The tip didn't pan out. Detectives interview the woman and quickly take her off the suspect list. She was Wood's friend who had previously used the card with Breonna's consent. In early December, a Justice for Bree Facebook page is created. Days later, police receive an anonymous tip that leads officers to a pond in Flower Bluff. Nothing was found. The search for Breonna Wood continues.
To Taylor Alanis joining us, KRIS6, false hope. First, they believe that her cards are used. That was wrong. Then they find out that they should rush to a pond in Flower Bluff. Nothing was found. So the mom is being taken on a roller coaster ride of pain. What was happening within the home at this time as everyone was trying to find Breonna Wood, and what was going on in the search for Breonna Wood? What was the community doing? What were police doing to try to find her?
There wasn't much, other than, of course, searches going on, families and friends. I mean, police were kind of remaining tight-lipped. We don't think there was even anything other than a tip about the pond, where, of course, nothing was found. And then when they went to a pawn shop, it ended up being a friend of Brianna's who had used her identification card before. Breonna had given her permission to use that card before. So that lead was nothing. So
a dead end.
A dead end. And a family is going through the holidays without their daughter.
Guys, take a listen now to our friends at Action 10 Crime Fighters.
21-year-old Breonna Wood has been missing for weeks. Her family and friends have not seen or heard from her. We're told Breonna's cat was left at her home, unattended.
She was last seen at the PMI here downtown on Tonkawa.
Breonna's mother first reported her missing back on October the 11th. Mom told cops she's concerned because she spoke with Breonna daily and hadn't heard from her in almost a week.
Is there a possibility that she was abducted or harmed?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of speculation, a lot of room for speculation. We're worried that maybe something has happened, but at this point, we don't have any supporting evidence.
No supporting evidence. I find that very, very difficult to believe. Joining me, Dr. Jeff Kalashevsky, forensic psychologist, author of Dark Sides. Dr. Jeff, thank you for being with us. You know, when a young girl, just 21 years old, is constantly in touch with her mother, her family, on social media, and suddenly she drops off the face of the earth, I think that's a pretty good indicator that something has gone horribly wrong. And I'm saying that based on her track record. When you text home and call home throughout the day, every day of your life, and then suddenly nobody can hear from you or find you or track you, why do cops insist on saying no foul play?
This case was odd right from the beginning. It just seemed like no one was really in any type of hurry or had a lot of motivation to really investigate and try to find this girl. As I read through things in the case, I think I wore a patch out in my head, scratching my head. I don't understand why this wasn't a bigger story and why there wasn't more effort put forth to find this person.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Joining me now is someone that may have answers in addition to Sharon Sedgwick. Joining me is Jeff Rickle, private investigator hired by Breonna Wood's mother, former Texas Ranger. Jeff Rickle, thank you so much for being with us. When did you first get involved in the search for Breonna?
Thanks for having me. First met Fallon probably in November, a little bit before the holidays, and she was at her wit's end. She's a shattered woman searching for answers, trying to find her daughter. And my boss and I met with her, and she decided to hire us and to get some help, she was doing everything she could. She was handing out flyers and some dangerous neighborhoods and any place she could go to and ask where she might could find something about Breonna.
And what, if anything, did you do?
We interviewed a few people, some leads, to try to, to see who was involved or what somebody might know, any information we could get.
Jeff, what was Breonna's mother, Fallon, going through at this time? She was the one out searching. She was the one out putting up posters, handing out flyers. Finally, it's to the point where she hires a private investigator, has to go get a GoFundMe started to help her find her daughter. What state of mind was she in at the point where you got involved in the case?
I really don't know how she's putting one foot in front of the other at that point and functioning, but she was. I mean, she's looking for her daughter.
You know, Matthew Mangino joining us, high-profile lawyer and author of The Executioner's Toll, former prosecutor. Matthew, you know it's bad when the victim's family cannot find their girl, and they have to hire a private investigator to help them search because the DA's office and local law enforcement is not doing their job.
Well, you're right, Nancy. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with a missing person, the first couple of days may be the most important days in terms of investigation, trying to put something together, where she was, when she was last seen, who might have seen her, where she might have been. Unfortunately, sometimes when these missing persons calls are made and it's an adult, they're not looked at with any real seriousness. They'll turn up is kind of the explanation, and that's just not satisfactory.
Matthew Mangino, I always hear, oh, she probably went off with her boyfriend. Take a listen to our friends at 10, Action 10 Crime Fighters.
Breonna is 5'5", weighs about 100 pounds, has black hair and hazel eyes.
She's missing. We're really concerned about her. This is unlike her to be not in contact with her family. Mm-hmm. She had a cat that she cared for.
Her picture has been posted all over social media, in newspapers, on television, and still no one has come forward with any kind of information about her whereabouts.
Really come to a point where we really want the public to help us find Breonna Wood.
If you have any information about the whereabouts of Breonna Wood, call Crime Stoppers at 888-TIPS or submit a tip online at 888-TIPS.com.
This mother, Fallon Wood, doing everything she can to bring her daughter home. What could be worse? And feeling like the system is actually fighting against her. Now take a listen to 3 News.
It has now been 7 weeks since 21-year-old Brianna Wood was last seen, and police still need your help to find her. Wood has been missing since October 11th after she was last seen at the PM convenience store on Tonkawa and Hancock. A reward has been doubled now to $10,000. If you have any information, call detectives at 886-2600.
You know, I've got a question for you. Sharon Sedgwick joining us, victims advocate and crime victim herself. I believe that rewards do help. Do you?
Yes, I do think, and especially in this case, I could see where it would help because there were a lot of extended players. So yes, I do think rewards do help in a situation like this.
I agree with you. And to you, Matthew Mangino, high-profile lawyer, here's a great example. People always say, oh, the cops planted the evidence on O.J. Simpson. That's not true. There's no conspiracy. You mean to tell me, Mangino, that after all this time, one of those cops wouldn't crack for a $1 million book deal? No, there was no conspiracy. So when you do have more than one person involved in a crime, very often somebody cracks and talks. Would you agree with that?
Well, no question. I think that's one of the major ways unsolved crimes are finally solved. You know, someone talks, someone wants a deal because they got arrested again. You know, someone brags about what they did in a drunken stupor at the bar. So yeah, people talk, and when you have more than one person involved, sooner or later that's going to happen.
And true to form, that is what happens here. Take a listen to Brianna Whitney at K3 News.
Investigators claim when an inmate told them where they could find Wood's body, he led them to a rural area near Bluntzer on State Highway 1833. The report says when they got to the location, they found an 18 by 24 inch box duct taped and inside Wood's body wrapped in heavy plastic.
The 21-year-old autopsy showed she was killed by a single gunshot to the back of her head before her arms were broken and her body was sexually assaulted. Until now, there was no knowledge of where the weapon was, but a tip to authorities prompted today's search. Now, we have gotten reports that a gun was found by the dive team this afternoon.
Straight out to our friend at KRIS6, Taylor Anise. Taylor, again, thank you for being with us. Explain to me how this tip generated. I mean, as I have said a million times as a felony prosecutor in inner city Atlanta, when I can't crack a case, where do you go? The Fulton County Jail, because somebody knows something, even if it's a tenuous connection, somebody knows something. So an inmate blabs to explain what we know.
Yeah, exactly that, Nancy. This inmate not only knew he was involved, an inmate at the Nueces County Jail here in Corpus Christi about 5 p.m. on January 2nd, told police that he knew where Brianna's body was and that he was paid $500 to hide her body at a vacant home in rural Nueces County.
Sharon Sedgwick joining us. Victims advocate, a crime victim herself. When I hear Taylor Alanis speaking, it's as if Brianna, this 21-year-old girl, is like a piece of meat. It's just, yeah, they pay me $500 to just throw her body in this abandoned house. It's like she's nothing. She's trash. She's a piece of evidence to get disposed of. That's what it sounds like. It's heartbreaking. And I hate that Brianna's mother, Fallon, had to endure all this and then be asked by the prosecutor to sort through the evidence, including witness statements like this piece of trash behind bars that turned into a snitch.
The whole thing, the part I've always had a problem getting over is that she saw the pictures of her daughter's body. When Jennifer was killed and dismembered, I had mental health professionals all over saying, don't let her look at those ever. It'll kill her. And that Fallon is still standing after going through that alone, I can't imagine.
Guys, take a listen to our Cut 11.
Three News obtained the arrest affidavit, and the details surrounding Wood's death are nothing short of horrific. The report claims Tejeda with Wood at his apartment sometime between October 11th and October 15th, when he broke both of her arms and shot her in the head. Her family, devastated by details they never wanted or expected to hear.
Yeah, nobody would want to hear that. It's tragic, sad.
The affidavit says Tejeda then hired a friend to dispose of her body.
Back out to Taylor Alanis with KRIS6. Tell me about the discovery of this young girl, Breonna Wood's body.
So an inmate at the Nueces County Jail had told police that he was paid $500 to hide her body at a vacant home in rural Nueces County. And the way her body was found is horrific. It was found in a box smaller than 2 by 2 feet, covered in a white sheet wrapped in plastic, dismembered.
Explain that to me one more time, please. A box, it was 2 by 2, wrapped in plastic, and Breonna had actually been dismembered?
Yes, something horrified. Even as a journalist, you hear about these horrifying stories. You see stuff like this in movies, but when you realize that it has happened in real life, that a young girl's body was wrapped in plastic, found in a 2 foot by 2 foot box, smaller than that, wrapped in a white sheet, dismembered.
Joining me right now, the chief medical examiner out of Tarrant County, that is Fort Worth. This is his backyard in Texas. Lecturer, University of Texas Austin and Texas Christian University Medical School. Dr. Kendall Crowns, thank you for being with us. It's really hard for me to imagine when I look at the photos of 21-year-old Breonna that her entire body was in a 2 by 2 box. How can that be?
Well, if you really think about it, the longest part of your body is your torso. So if you begin removing the limbs from the torso and breaking it down and then decapitating the head, you can pretty much compact the body into a 2 foot space because most torsos are about 2 to 3 feet.
You know, Dr. Kendall Crowns, we see dismemberments and more in, or an airbrushed version of them in movies and on TV. It's nothing like that at all. I'm actually glad for this one moment that Breonna's mother is not with us right now. She's under a gag order, by the way. I invited her personally, and she told me she couldn't comment because she's under a court gag order. I usually always want to speak to victims' families first, but I'm glad she can't hear this because what was done to her daughter is nothing less than a slaughterhouse, a rendering of a body, the way you would take, the way people take animals and cut them apart and use every single part of the animal. That is what was done to this beautiful young girl. And her mother had to see those kind of photos at the district attorney's office. Take a listen to more of Mom Fallon speaking about what happened to her when she was summoned to the DA's office and asked to sort through evidence, including crime scene photos. Listen.
It certainly can cause Fallon to be disqualified as a witness.
And for now, Wood is still on the witness list.
It would be the equivalent of putting her on the jury. Like, what do you, you know, you would never put her on the jury because she is somebody who cannot be a fair and impartial person.
Jason Goss is a law professor at St. Mary's in San Antonio. He says if anyone besides the prosecution or the defense has access to evidence, anything could happen.
Notes that the prosecutor took about what witnesses might have said that would be bad for the case. They just get pulled out and shredded. And nobody ever knows, like they'd ever existed.
It's been 5 years for her. It's been, you know, over 5 years for him. It goes both ways, yes. He deserves his day in court, and Breonna deserves her day in court.
Everybody should know, if they don't already, that you should never do this, ever. Ever, 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 ever let anybody associated with the case that closely look through the evidence.
So, bottom line, not only has the victim's mother been forced to look at photos of her dismembered daughter, who's all of her remains were in a 2x2 box. She now faces the possibility of being disqualified as a witness. Explain that to me, Taylor Alanis, joining us from KRIS 6.
Yes, Nancy. She's looking at evidence in several cases involving her daughter's death, her daughter's murder. The case specifically that she's talking about, that she had copies of interviews and pictures and notes from detectives, was a person that had pled out in her daughter's case. But that's still evidence that's going to be entered in cases that haven't been tried yet regarding her daughter's murder. So she's going to be called on the stand and have to talk about that stuff that she shouldn't be knowing about.
No, I'm just trying to think this through.
Nancy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Matt. I mean, this is wrong on so many levels in terms of Brianna's mother having an opportunity to go through these files. Number one, she's exposed to these photographs, which no parent should have to endure that. And, you know, some of these photographs may not even be admissible at trial. They might be too inflammatory for a jury, let alone the mother of the victim, to look at those. And then she has access to evidence, potential evidence in a trial. I mean, if I'm defending this case, I'm going to say, wait a second, you know, mom had a chance to go through these files. Is there anything missing? Are there interviews? Are there notes that are important to this that are gone? Because someone who is not affiliated with the district attorney's office has access to files and evidence that could be used in this case. Maybe there's inculpatory or exculpatory evidence that the defense says, I never got because it was removed from the file. I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong.
Exactly. The whole thing has been thrown into jeopardy. So, Taylor Alanis joining us from KRIS 6. Take a listen to our Cut 16.
Gonzalez said Wood's murder was a network of individuals doing a lot of bad things, and those people have been indicted by a grand jury.
I'm so happy to get all these people off the streets.
That woman you just heard from is Brianna Wood's mother. She was there for today's announcement.
It's one thing to charge somebody, but it's another thing to actually bring them to trial and hold them accountable.
We've already reported on the arrest of Joseph Tejeda. He's now charged with capital murder and will face the death penalty. Today, the DA announced that Sandra Vasquez and Christopher Gonzalez are also charged with capital murder, in addition to other crimes.
I promise the community these individuals will have a fair trial, but I also promise you that justice will be served.
Who is that, Sharon Sedgwick, saying justice will be served? Who is that?
I think that was Mark Gonzalez, our DA.
Explain to me why the death penalty has been taken off the table.
He doesn't believe in it.
Well, wait. Did you say the prosecutor in Texas, Corpus Christi, does not believe in the death penalty?
That's it. He made that announcement a while back at the execution of another person not involved in this case that he doesn't believe in the death penalty and therefore will not ask for it in trials here in Nueces County.
You know, Sharon Sedgwick, how long has it now been that Brianna was murdered?
Brianna was murdered in 2016. My daughter Jennifer was murdered in 2005. And I worked my tail off to get dismemberment of a corpse, made a third-degree felony, so no other mother would have to sit there and go, I don't understand. They butchered my daughter. I don't understand.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, I heard something in the reporting, Taylor Alanis, and in my own investigation of this, I heard that Brianna's body, that the perp had sex with Brianna's body. Am I understanding correctly that Brianna was raped after her death?
Postmortem. Yes, we learned that Joseph Tejeda had shot her in the back of the head, broke her arms, and raped her body.
Dr. Kendall Crowns joining me, Chief Medical Examiner, joining us out of Texas. Dr. Kendall Crowns, how do you, in a dismemberment case of this young girl, how do you determine COD, cause of death, and whether the victim was raped during life or postmortem?
So you determine cause of death based on the injuries that are not related to the dismemberment. In her case, it's going to be a gunshot wound to the head. Usually the dismemberments occur after they've done something else, like stabbed them, shot them, or beaten them to death. So you'll look for those injuries. As far as evidence of rape, in the living will be damage to the genitalia that can be seen, bruises, lacerations, or tears, or scratches, abrasions. In the postmortem state, you may not see those, but you'll see possibly tearing of the skin from the forceful penetration in the genital region. But other than that, you're not going to see much else.
Years since the body of this 21-year-old girl, Brianna Wood, was discovered in an abandoned oil field trailer surrounded by brush off a lonely state highway 666 near Robstown, Texas. But yet still, even though years have passed, still no justice. In that time, District Court Judge Jack Pulcher recused himself. He was replaced, and the District Attorney Mark Gonzalez has now asked for himself to be recused. To Taylor Alanise, why did the judge recuse himself, and why has the District Attorney, who I thank God he's off the case, has asked to be recused, but why did he want to be taken off the case?
He had said that Fallon Wood, Brianna's mother, had threatened to sue him, the police department, and the judge, Jack Pulcher, at the time.
And I wonder why. Why was that? Why did the mom feel like she had to sue the judge and the DA?
Which Fallon says she didn't. She didn't make any threats of lawsuit. She just said that they weren't getting justice for her daughter. She took everything in her own hands to help find her daughter and help get justice for her. And she just let that be known, whether it was to the media or to family or to friends, that they weren't doing their jobs. She never threatened them with a lawsuit. But still, the district attorney said that she did, and said that he felt like he couldn't help her under the Crime Victims Bill of Rights.
Is it true that Ms. Wood, Fallon Wood, Brianna's mother, says Gonzalez blocked her personal email address? Is that true, Taylor Alanise?
Yes, that's what Fallon told us. That's what Fallon told us, that she had receipts. She had messages from when she would try to email him that said that she was blocked.
And as a matter of fact, she did file a legal process, a legal action, not a regular lawsuit. This mom getting no help in her daughter's murder and dismemberment and rape postmortem files a grievance with the Texas Attorney General's office and the Texas State Bar, as she should have. And now she's being punished. How many people, Taylor Alanise, have not been adjudicated? How many of this? What is it, a gang?
I'm not sure about the gang affiliations. I know some of the charges had to do with organized crime, but we have Joseph Tejeda. We have his mother, Sandra Musea. We have Sandra Vasquez. We have at least three people that were part of a group of people that were involved in this crime that have not had their day in court.
To Sharon Sedgwick joining us, victim's advocate. It's been now since October 11, 2016, and still no justice. Explain to me what Brianna's mother is enduring now after she's asked to sort through the death scene photos of her daughter and her daughter's dismembered body.
I mean, it's psychologically, it has kicked her in the head. I had breakfast with her shortly after this happened, and she told me, and I was incredulous, A, that she had to see those pictures alone, but that she saw that evidence. And I said, get rid of it. Take it back. Get rid of it. And I'm sorry. The travesties that have been done to Fallon as a human being, as a crime victim, and as a mother are almost incomprehensible to me. And I know, well, in the state of Texas, and I had to learn this, it is the state of Texas versus, and they make it very clear that as moms, our children were adults, and it's the state of Texas versus so-and-so, not mom. And it's a very hard thing to get your hands around as a mom.
Well, I guess it's pretty hard to get your hands around it when it seems like there is no justice. Take a listen to this mom, suffering mom, speaking to Brianna Whitney at K3 News. This is Cut 5.
21-year-old Brianna Wood first went missing in October, her body found in a box months later in January. 26-year-old Joseph Tejeda was charged with her murder, and Monday, his attorneys will ask for the Nueces County District Attorney's Office to be off the case. Another hearing Brianna's mom will have to sit through, but even from above, she can feel her daughter's support.
I feel like she's on me, like, because I feel so heavy, so I don't know if it's just my heart beating out of my chest, or if it's just, you know, what that feeling is.
And more of Mom Fallon Wood in our Cut 8, speaking to Chris Six.
Brianna Wood disappeared in October of 2016. She was found last January.
I couldn't celebrate any holidays.
Since then, Fallon Wood devoted her energy to finding justice for her daughter.
I haven't grieved because I can't yet. I have to do my job. I told her I would never stop until, you know, justice is there for her. And then I can, then I'll grieve.
Matthew Mangino joining us, high-profile lawyer, former prosecutor. The reality is everyone seems to be blaming Fallon Wood, Brianna Wood's mother. It's not her fault. An inexperienced and inept assistant prosecutor asked the mother of a murdered, dismembered girl to sort through the crime scene photos and statements. It's not the mother's fault. But that said, it doesn't matter because this evidence is not going to be excluded from trial. The first hurdle the defense has in order to get evidence excluded is to show that it was, in fact, tampered with. That there's something wrong with it. There's something missing. And that's never going to happen because it was not tampered with. It was organized and put in piles, whether alphabetical or chronological, that I don't know. But this evidence will not be excluded from trial.
Well, I agree with you. It remains to be seen, you know, what would be presented by the defense. I'm sure the defense is going to try to make that argument. I wouldn't expect that they're going to be able to prove that Brianna's mother, disposed of evidence or did anything like that. She's doing what any parent would do if they were asked to assist in some way in an investigation of the murder of their child. So I don't anticipate that anything is going to be excluded.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not going to happen. And we also know the way this case was actually cracked wide open is Tejeda's cellmate passed on information. Tejeda had been bragging about the murder, and it cracked wide open, but still the case is lingering. Last question, Taylor Alanis joining us from Chris 6. How did this DA get in office to start with?
He is known as the biker district attorney. He is covered in tattoos from head to toe, and he has a giant tattoo across his chest that says, not guilty.
Stop right there. Tattoos, don't care one way or the other, but not guilty. The prosecutor, has a tattoo across his chest that says not guilty. Where did that come from? What, when he was a biker? Let me guess. Yes, no. Am I right?
Yes, he is part of a motorcycle club.
You know what? That's who was elected. Now the voters are reaping what they sowed. And who is suffering? Fallon Wood and the memory of her daughter, Brianna. We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend.